This past November, Arkansans voted on three different ballot measures during the general election. They passed a voter ID law, authorized four new casinos, and approved increasing the minimum wage to $11 an hour by 2022. New research published in the journal Political Behavior finds few people have general knowledge of ballot measures as they go to vote. The researchers used data collected in 2014 and 2016 during the annual Arkansas poll conducted by the University of Arkansas. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with Janine Perry, professor of political science at the U of A and director of the Arkansas poll, about what their findings mean for those who write ballot measures and for those of us who vote on them.
This study specifically looked at ballot measures which show up during elections along with voting for candidates. States put these on their ballot for their citizens to consider. So how did you go about asking people about ballot measures here in Arkansas, and what did you find?
Yeah, and I would back up one second. One thing to keep in mind is only about half of the states have access to ballot measures, and it's one way that Arkansas is more Western than we are Southern. We're, in fact, the only Southern state to have access to as many forms of direct democracy, of ballot measures, as we do. And I've always thought that's really interesting. It's a legacy of the progressive era's influence here and sort of our more populist and thus Western history and culture. And of course, measures can get to the ballot in a lot of different ways. There are, you know, different origination stories is the way we talk about it. So legislatures, right, can adopt resolutions and then pass those on to the citizens, usually for, say, constitutional amendments, and we can vote them up or down. And we have that in Arkansas. But in addition, either for regular statutes or for constitutional change as well, we can come up with ideas ourselves and circulate petitions. And if we get enough support, you know, through the signature gathering process, then those qualify for the ballot and the rest of us get to vote it up or down. So it's actually fairly unusual to use, again, around half, maybe fewer than half the states use it regularly and use it from that citizen-initiated perspective. And then in addition to that, not everybody uses it often because it's harder to qualify measures or that kind of thing. But Arkansas has actually got traditionally fairly low qualification standards. So we usually use it a lot. We're in the top third of direct democracy users. We have an average of two or three ballot measures an election cycle. Some of those will come to us from the legislature and some of them, of course, from bubbling up from the citizens. It's kind of hard to overemphasize how unusual that is for a Southern state and the way that it makes it kind of marks Arkansas as much Western as it is Southern.
So it sounds like Arkansans really like having their ballot measures. And your research looked at how familiar people are with these measures as they go to vote. And you took a little bit of a different approach than other studies have done in the past. What made it different, and what did the data show you about how much people know ahead of an election?
So we knew that this question had been addressed before by scholars working in other states and then on some nationwide samples. And we knew that in general, maybe two-thirds to as much as 75% of people, when they were asked, have you heard about the ballot measure on minimum wage? And then people could say yes or no. Or they might be more generically asked, do you happen to know if there will be any ballot measures this year in addition to candidates? And maybe closer to 40 to 50% would say yes. But in general, it was usually that first one that's traditionally been used on the field poll in California as a way of gauging how exciting any ballot measures are, you know, how motivated people are by this process. But when we looked at it, you know, we said, well, of course people say yes, but is that true? Are they being honest? If you've already identified the measure for them and said, hey, have you heard of this? Of course, the answer affectively for any very likely voter is, oh, yes, I'm a very responsible citizen. So I'm afraid we did something a tiny bit mean, perhaps, but we wanted to try to get a more accurate gauge. So we asked the generic question of voters, you know, do you happen to know if there are going to be any ballot measures this year? We did it in 2014 and 2016 in Arkansas. And then if people said yes, we said, oh, great. Well, are there any that you're particularly interested in? And we saw this as kind of a very gentle nudge into how much do you really know? Like you said, you know there are ballot measures, so which ones do you know about? And I think it's really important, and we emphasize it a lot in the article, to note that in 2014 and 2016, some of your listeners will remember, there were a lot of hot topics on the ballot. Yes, there were some sleepers, and there always are. Some years I can even be surprised, and I do this professionally. But there were ballot measures on statewide liquor laws, right, whether we were going to go wet, quote unquote, statewide. There were measures on minimum wage. There were measures on gambling and casinos, right, at least in the run-up to that. Sometimes they got knocked off by the Supreme Court. There were measures dealing with marijuana. If you take all of the nine measures that ended up in the ballots either together in 2014 or 2016, four of them were really hot topics and had, you know, a million or 2 million, sometimes more, spent on for and against them during the campaign. So there's a loud din about these issues, and you would think that people would be able to maybe pull them off the top of their head just a week or two in advance of the election, by the way. Sometimes when we're in the field, early voting has already started, and this is a very likely voter sample. So all those things considered, you'd think that if we called you on the phone, people would say, yes, I know that there are ballot measures and might be able to name one or two. In fact, that's not what we found. We found instead that more than half of the people we contacted in both 2014 and 2016 did not expect to find any ballot measures. I guess they thought there would just be candidates. And then for the ones that, you know, we sort of pressed, at best, they could only name one, maybe one of the four that were on that year, that kind of thing.
So does that mean out of the people who do go out and vote that a lot of them are seeing some of these ballot measures for the very first time?
Our conclusion is yes, that when people show up or receive a ballot by mail or whatever it happens to be, when they're at the voting machine and there's the back page to their ballots, that while about half of them do know they're supposed to look at the back and there might be something there, that the great majority, it appears, again, through two election cycles and a pretty systematic examination, that they're going to be reading those ballot measures for the first time. That doesn't mean, and I want to be fair about this, that maybe they did have kind of a, you know, a general idea that there might be a gambling measure on there and they just didn't think to say it when we called them on the phone. And there's a lot of scholarship that says if you see something like gambling, that's what we call an easy issue. So you're either a yes or a no. Or if you see medical marijuana, it's a yes or a no. You don't really need to know the details. But in general, again, if only a third of likely Arkansas voters are expecting any of those things, I think it does make the language, and this is really the larger project that this research team has been thinking about, the language of those ballot measures, those first couple of lines that we all actually read, become more important than ever.
So what does this say about the ballot writing process and the legislative process? I mean, do the people who write these measures know that a lot of voters won't fully read them or won't fully understand them just because of the language that's used to write them? And then does that mean that some measures get enacted even though it's not what people thought they were voting for?
In our view, it supports what many of us in Arkansas politics and then in state politics scholarly circles have been talking about for quite a long time, which is that it's pretty easy to be strategic or even manipulative about how you write those first few sentences. And really, in Arkansas for the last 20 years, we've seen a number of referred amendments, so coming from the legislature for our approval or disapproval, that appear in their first few lines to be reining in political power, to sort of be hamstringing elected officials, when in fact they're doing the opposite and they're expanding political power. And a few legislators even who were the authors of these have commented on this over time. But the best example that some of your listeners might remember was from 2014, where there was a big sort of ethics reform bill, and that was – or measure, and that was up front. But then tucked inside of it was a clause, for example, to establish term limits. Well, Arkansas had long had term limits. We established them in 1992, and they were pretty strict, right, either 6 or 8 years, depending on the chamber. But this extended them to 16 years. So we're not really establishing term limits. We're extending term limits, but that's not the way it was phrased. That was just one of the portions in that 2014 measure, which led some folks to call it a Trojan horse, which I thought was a really apt metaphor in many ways. So there have been a number of examples like that, really going back as far as legislative pay in 1992. And this is something circles have been talking about, but it's something that we're just starting to be able to measure. And so this just sort of general project of how much do people know was, I think, kind of a jumping off point for us to try to explore that a little further.
So when we talk about this, is it on the voter? Is it on reforming the way we write ballot measures? Is it on the legislature? I mean, what does this say, I guess, about the process and the way we're all involved in it?
I would say it's just like anything. There are costs and benefits. There are advantages and disadvantages. So we might be disappointed with these results. And there's no reason to think, by the way, that Arkansans are any different than anyone nationwide, which is why it's in this particular journal. It's a representative sample controlling for all the usual factors. So, yes, voter knowledge, or what we call sometimes voter competence, is disappointing. It's been disappointing since we started measuring it in the 1960s. But what almost any political scientist will tell you is that people are pretty rational in the sense that we use heuristics pretty capably, which just means shortcuts. So we, for example, use partisan ID to tell us in general what people are for when we're voting for candidates. So we don't have to come in, you know, with an inventory of everybody's position. But generally speaking, if we know they're a D or an R and we consider ourselves a D or an R, then we can use that as a shortcut. We sometimes also can use endorsements, you know, so if the governor's been saying repeatedly that, you know, he supports this, then that might, and we support the governor or we share a party ID, then we might support that. It's not on the ballot, so we've eliminated, you know, those kinds of heuristics, so that can be kind of complicated. I will say that in the Western states, they have printed voter guides as well as online voter guides that are more than traditionally what we've had here. Although the University of Arkansas Extension Office has a great website every year with all kinds of information about ballot measures, and they're always trying to push it out there. It's neutral. It's nonpartisan. But in some of those Western states, they'll tell you which groups are for it and which groups are against it. Now, that's not on the ballot itself. It's in the voter guide in advance, so it's still on the voter to look it up and be familiar with it. But this is all just to say that voters are pretty good with shortcuts. But in the case of ballot measures, you know, sometimes there's just not much available other than those first few words. So that's where the authors of the ballot measures are incentivized to be pretty strategic, and where it would be, I guess, advantageous if voters were maybe a little more aware of the way that that could be manipulated and read a little deeper into it. But that's probably not a realistic expectation.
But at the same time, right, these ballot measures do allow maybe the will of the people to be carried out faster or at all.
I mean, think about marijuana in Arkansas. Even
that's
just
the one
medical.
I'm thinking of, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
That's the first one on my mind when I said that, yeah.
That state legislators tend to be more conservative than the rest of the population, and unlikely to feel like they'd be, like there's much incentive for them to introduce topics that could have some backlash for them from powerful economic forces that fund campaigns, for example, you know, maybe something that isn't popular right now with the majority, but will be later when you think about changing ideas of full citizenship for minority populations. All those things aren't going to get through the legislature, but they do sometimes come through this initiative gathering process because somebody cares about it enough. And, you know, and then that can move public policy forward in a way that better matches public opinion. It can have the opposite effect, though. We can see really energized folks mobilizing to take rights away from people who aren't at least half the population. And then, of course, courts often are asked to intervene, as they would if the legislature acted the same way. So it's just another tool that's available to us in our policymaking process, at least in the states that have it. And it's just out there in the mix in terms of how we govern ourselves.
So there is actually a discussion right now in the legislature about changing how ballot measures are vetted, mm-hmm. because right now they just go through the AG's office.
Mm-hmm. And they have for some time, although it's apparently not in the original Amendment 7 language to the Arkansas Constitution, which is interesting. And I really don't know how that unfolded. And other people who run in my circle, to my knowledge, right, haven't
no one
seen.
Ended up,
how did
how
we start doing that?
Okay, that's interesting.
But I mean, traditionally, AGs have been lawyers. And so if they're the state's lawyer, then maybe that's who should screen it. But yes, right now, Arkansas is in the process, and it has been actually for several years, of kind of tightening up the process of getting something qualified for the ballot. And we're having this conversation right now and changing it from the Attorney General's office to the Election Commission. But something some of the folks who've believe in this process, believe in direct democracy, and or have been involved in recent years are concerned because apparently the way that the language that's being considered right now is written, that wouldn't happen until after you'd gathered signatures. So you could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars gathering signatures and then get knocked off the ballot and told to start over. So it's not just that we're changing who's vetting the language, but at least as the proposal has been written and discussed in the last week or so, it's also about the timing of the process and when the vetting occurs. So there are a few kind of close watchers of that process who are saying maybe you're changing the game too much. And I don't know whether that's intentional or accidental, because something we've actually seen nationwide lately is that state legislatures are interested in reining in this process a little bit because they see it as maybe running amok or as some interest groups, you know, maybe being too strategic or frankly too successful in running the petition gathering process and then also the campaigns that get them approved on the ballot. And that's been a nationwide pattern, and Arkansas is fitting right in there. So if folks are interested in this process, and particularly if they like this process, they might need to get out there in the weeds right now and watch what the legislature is, how the legislature is considering changing and specifically tightening, making more difficult the hurdles that are currently in place.
Well, thank you so much for giving us all these insights into how we look at ballot measures.
Well, thanks for being interested.
That was University of Arkansas Professor of Political Science Janine Perry speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek about her latest research recently published in the journal Political Behavior. Janine Perry is also the director of the Arkansas Poll. She says she and her colleagues did come across a surprise in their data analysis. We couldn't fit that into this conversation, but you can hear that extra from the conversation on our website, ozarksatlarge.com.